This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. Hey everyone, here we are. I barely made it. I was working in Carmel today. I had a couple of shower enclosures to do solo, because that's how I roll, you know me. So, I didn't know if I was going to get back here in time. So I had this whole plan of like, okay, if it looks like I'm not going to make it, I'll pull off. I'll start it up on my phone, you know, and just sit by the side of the road.
I drove by there and looked down the street and I still saw your truck there.
Yeah. Yeah, I barely got out of there. Yeah, Tim dropped by. He was in the neighborhood and he came in. And I was like, "Well, what are you doing, man?" Just popped into the job site to say hi. So it was pretty cool. Well, anyway, yeah. So you know, just kind of rambling on, but welcome back to another Shower Door Pros live stream here in Zoom. We are also streaming live on Facebook. And so if you're on Facebook and you are just watching us over there, you can just click on the link that leads to the Zoom room and come on in and hang out with us and chat. I'm sure we'll probably have a few more members show up before it's all said and done. But yeah, hey, thanks for being there and thanks for being a part of the group. It is an awesome group, you know, about 2,200 members now in the Shower Door Pros Facebook group. I had just a couple of new members join today. It just blows my mind, you know, it's hard for me to keep up with that. I try to, you know, go through and look at everything and scold people who are being bad, you know, boot people out. You know how I do. But I can't seem to boot them out fast enough, man. It's still growing like crazy. But no, thanks for being so cool and, you know, playing nice with each other and not being too mean to each other so I don't have to, like, you know, yell at you. It's awesome. So anyway, no real agenda tonight. No guest speaker, no real topic. I was just kind of thinking about, I had this project I was doing today where we had a neo angle. It was a contractor who was doing this project and he ended up with this neo and the space for the door ended up only being like 20 inches wide. And so we're like, yeah, we can't, you know, that won't meet code. You have to have at least 22 inches clearance here in beautiful California, USA. I don't know how it is every place else, but here, like, so with the door open clearance, you have to have 22 inches. So it's just not going to work, you know? But I put my thinking cap on and came up with this idea. Since it was a neo angle and we were doing a glass to glass hinge on the left side, I said, well, what if we just made that fixed panel on the right, instead of making it a fixed panel, just put it on hinges. And then, you know, you don't have to open it or close it or whatever, but in an emergency, you could hypothetically open it. And so that'll get us around the whole issue with code, you know. So they liked the idea. They gave us the job. So I went and did that today. It turned out pretty nice. I took some photos and a little video. So I'll put that together and post it to the group so you can see it. But, you know, sometimes you just got to think out of the box. And so I'm curious if you guys have any recent adventures where you've had to be creative to solve a problem like that and make the sale and get the job, make the customer happy and live happily ever after. Got anything like that? Come on.
Well, I don't know if it's still loud where I'm at.
It's loud. That's okay.
Really?
You're doing good.
Earpiece sucks. I had to buy this from the airport one time. Anyways. I don't know if you guys see my recent post. I have this big old opening. The customer wants a barn door. And it's 111 inches long. So they want a panel, door in the middle, panel. I've been searching all day trying to find and make something work. Finally, I stumbled across, or not stumbled. Finally, I got a hold of somebody at Sierra Lawrence, you know, that knows something. Because some of those guys are just, I don't know. They can just pick them all on the side of the streets and just throw them in there. But anyways. So I talked to them and I found somebody. They have a Laguna bar that was the one diameter I want. But they don't have any matte blacks, so I have to do powder coating. But I called a customer up today, this morning, said, I don't know what's going to happen. So they're kind of bummed out. So I did a little work on it, and I was able to find it, get it powder coated. I mean, I'm going to have to get it here, powder coat it, and then it's going to cost them a little extra. But they were happy. You know, that little – I don't really like doing that because you don't really get paid to do all that searching. You can't charge for it, really. It's just, you know, dead time that, you know, you just waste. But – at the end of the day, they were kind of excited about it. So I'm going to fudge the numbers a little bit to bring up the price and see if they'll go for it. You know, I did waste a lot of time on it. It was a lot. So, but yeah, they're happy. So they're going to – I'm working on their bid right now, and hopefully by tomorrow I'll get a deposit and get it going. So,
yeah, you make a good point. I mean, you can't always recover the cost, you know, of time you spend like doing research and stuff like that, you know, to just kind of solve the problem, you know.
So what's everybody, what do you guys do when you guys run into a situation like a bar like that? Are you guys, I know some of you guys said HMI, but I'm not an HMI customer. Honestly, I don't really like them, so I do not use them. That's just my preference, you know, in this area, they're not very popular. But what do you guys do? Like, what is your guys's, what do you guys do when you need something like that?
Well, a while back, somebody asked that question and Danny came on from FHC and he says, you don't need to run the bar to the wall, just put it up there and then clip the panel in place.
Yeah. I suggested that, but they told me that it would look unfinished. They didn't want it, so I scratched that off. So it was a lot of back and forth suggestions to them, and they wanted to look finished. They wanted it all the way across. So I'm like, ugh. All right. So it's one of those guys. I'm just I wish I could ignore them, but I can't.
Yeah.
I think one time we sliced a bar where there was a mount into a panel. I think we did that once before and it worked out well. So, but I mean, we had to be upfront about how it had to be done.
You guys ever use the wall adapter to put two bars together to extend it? Will that work? I mean, I even thought about that too, you know, ordering an extra adapter and then just connecting like that, maybe put the adapter in the center of one of the panels and see what happens. Yeah, I'm still going to put wall mounts on it, because if I do that way, I'm still going to put wall mount just in case it gives out, at least there's a mount there to hold the glass up if something happens. Just for safety. Because it is going to be 8 foot tall as well. So it's going to be pretty tall.
Pretty big. Well, everybody else can chime in, but my vote is to give that a try.
Yeah. Instead of using a set screw, get a tiny little screw and just go into the inside the, what do you call it, the rail, instead of compressing it. Mm-hmm. And just maybe just getting a screw in and going through it so you know it's not going to move at all. That was my suggestion.
Yeah, maybe even like drill and tap it, you know, so it's
like, yeah,
Stout.
Yeah, I just don't want it to look too bulky, too, like, out of place. It's just, I think whatever I do is going to do that.
Yeah, sometimes it's just like damage control, right? It's like what's going to look the least bad. Because there's no, like, perfect scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, but I was able to find a bar from CRL. I just got to get it here. And so they got one right here in Union City, and that's where Old Castle gets their stuff. So I don't have to pay the $500 freight charge from Los Angeles to here to me. Mm-hmm. So I only pay the 7% surcharge I paid with Old Castle. So it's like, what? It's really nothing. So
that's a plus.
But I have to get a power coat in. I have to waste time for that. And like I said, it doesn't pay for that. So, but, you know, I'll get a happy customer. And I guess, you know.
It's all about happy customers, man.
Yeah. They say that customers are always right. I want to punch somebody for whoever made that up. That is a lie.
It was a customer that said that.
Yeah, right.
You know, Chris, you bring up a great point because, you know, at the end of the day, when we're installing anyway, we're not just installers, we're fabricators, right? I mean, and the difference is, it's obvious to us, but it may not be obvious to our customers. And that's one of the reasons why we charge a premium for what we do, because not everything goes in smooth and easy. And sometimes you have to, like you said, think outside the box. Mm-hmm. In your case, it happened to be in the design phase, but sometimes you go into an install and even though you know the design and everything, it's not obvious. It may be obvious, but it's not easy. Some of the things that we have to do to make it work. You know?
Yeah, maybe you're not the guy who measured it, you know? Maybe like, you know, you're going to install something and it's your first time there and something got missed or something got added later, or, you know. And I mean, you may be totally in the right to say, oh, this is wrong, you know, and I can't do it. But it's always better to like make it work, right? And then, you know, and leave. I mean, I love going out with a truckload of glass and coming back with the truck not loaded with glass. You know what I mean? That's one of my favorite things.
Yeah,
that's the idea.
I hate coming back with the glass, you know, that I left with.
Absolutely. That's a bad day.
Yeah. And we used to say, you know, like talk about like installers and it be like, oh, that guy's a good mechanic. You know, that used to be, they probably still use that term. Like that just means like, yeah, they could solve problems. They can figure it out. You know, they can make it work. You know, they have the right tools or, so it's cool. It's fun to be that guy, you know?
Hey, Adrian. When they powder coat that, you know, that's going to grow. So anything you slip on that rod is not going to fit.
It's going to be the crescent. Oh, shoot, you're right, huh? Oh, my God. Tim, why did you do that to me?
Sorry, I told you that.
He just did you a favor, man.
The diameter is going to grow and that stuff won't slide on.
If it's round, just ream it.
Well, I don't know. They powder coat. I mean, that's what they're doing with the like matte black finish, right? It's just powder
coat. I mean, they got it. My powder coater guy, he still has to go and sandblast off all the finish that's on it now to powder coat it. So maybe whatever he takes off, maybe it'll be equal. Maybe, you know, hopefully he doesn't do that.
Are you using crescent rollers?
Yes, I am.
Oh, they should have plenty of adjustment for the growth.
Yeah, but you got to slip on that stop.
The stop, yeah. No, they don't want to stop. Oh, I got to put a stop on the other end. Never mind, yeah. Shoot, yeah.
And the little fittings on the end, but there should be enough room. They allow a little bit of room for that.
Yeah. If not, I have a black marker. It covers a lot.
Yeah, my bigger worry would be that the rollers over time will take off the coating.
I asked about that. I asked about that, and he said, no, it shouldn't. I'm like, all right. You know, and I talked to a few other guys that did it, too, with the powder coating. And said, no, they haven't had no callbacks, and nothing has worn off it. So I'm like, all right. Well, I am going to put in my stipulations, though, in my quote that, you know, because the oversize and the custom of this is not, you know, the bar is not warranted. I'm gonna explain that to my customers, and I can't be reliable for hardware that wears out, you know, later on. It's just, sorry.
Yeah, I did a 105 wide last month, and it worked out great, except the only issue was the door opening they wanted was like 36, and like even though it functioned fine, you could see when stepping back and looking at it that like the bar kind of sagged. Like it operated fine, but the bar refused to stay dead even, like to eyesight. And so I did have that problem, and I like checked it, and it you know, it sat wherever I wanted it to sit, kept rolling. I told them to call me if they had any issues, but it definitely, like stepping back and looking at it, you were like, man, that looks like it dipped a little bit, and it did. And that was the structured glass solution oversized bar. So they were like, oh no, it's rated for this. And I was like, you're full of it. So
do you know what the total weight was?
What'd you ask? I'm sorry.
Yeah, do you know what the weight of the door was?
What the weight of the door was? No, I mean, I can work it up real quick. It was a 37 by 80 door. So that'd be 3/8 clear.
Yeah,
I did ask structure. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's over the spec. I think the spec is something like 87 pounds, if I remember right, something like that.
Well, I asked structure because I was like, man, is this going to be too much weight? And they were like, no, we sent the heavy duty rollers with it that are meant for this oversized door. And I was like, okay, I mean, I've never done one of these, so if you say it's going to work. And they cleared it. And I mean, like I said, it's still rolling. It just, it was like from panel on left to panel right, that bar just seemed like it shifted, which also the contractor did not make anything close to level and plumb. So it was a nightmare in itself, but you know.
Oh, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
No, I got it.
Can everybody laugh?
Well, you know, I don't know if you guys heard this or not. I don't know if it's true, but they said that even though that the specs say, it, you know, the weight, whatever, I guess the hardware, it's made to hold 40% more. You guys believe that?
It's got to be rated for more than what they say.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why. And like the door I'm bidding right now, it's 105 inches. That's how much it is. It's a 32 by 95, I think. So that's what the customers want. They want to, yeah. So
what kind of hinges are you using for that?
It's going to be, it's a crescent. It's
a crescent roller. Okay, that's right. That's what
you're saying. Yeah, I like the crescent. I'm not a big fan of the Essence. I don't like the crescent is my way to go, man. It's easy, in and out. Well, this one's not going to be in and out, but usually they're in and out pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like those crescents. Those are they're
Cameridges. I like those too, but I can't find one.
Yeah, the product that comes from FHC, I can't think what it's called.
The Clearwater.
Is that what it is? The
yeah.
Flint. It's I like it better. I like FHC's products better, both the crescent barn door and then the double barn door also, because there are some like little idiosyncrasies with CRL stuff that is like, they always bother me. And then like, and FHC seems to kind of iron those little things out.
I mean, how CRL and US Horizon leave out an Allen key that you need every single kit. Doesn't matter what kit it is. They're going to leave one Allen key out.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to have that, right? Yeah, then that's that one Allen. That's exactly what I'm talking about, man.
That always breaks
for like the guide or whatever. They don't just like that key doesn't seem to be in there. Yeah.
Man, talking about FHC though, I love FHC. Great customer service. I don't know. Can y'all see me? It looks like it's
really you look blurry. A little blurry sideways.
Let's see. I don't know what's up with it. I'll mess with it in a second. But I ordered two cases of the brush nickel adjustable colognes, and all hinges in both cases are set to 5-degree offset.
No.
Yeah. Cool. And I called and I was like, guys, like, I have a great sales rep, Albert Barron, over there at the Los Angeles office.
That's awesome.
And I was like, dude, something's up. Like, something's wrong with this. Why are they all like this? He's like, well, did you just flip the pin around? I was like, dude, I shouldn't have to flip the pin around on every single hinge. Why are you labeling these 5-degree offsets as adjustables? And they were, he's like, I don't know, somebody messed up. But they did it on the Morse ones too. Like, they did the Morse club blowout sale this past month, and they sent me a case of Morse, and they were all messed up too. I was like, dude, I don't know what to do.
I hate it when that happens. Yeah, because it's like, you know, you're not prepared for that. You know, you're expecting to spend a certain amount of time, right, doing an installation or whatever. And it's like, then you run into that. It's like, oh, crap. Now I've got to, like, reset all the pins and all my hinges or whatever. That ain't right.
Not at all.
Right, Christina? What do you think about that? Come on, weigh in.
Oh, man. We've had that happen a lot, mostly from CRL. I don't know that it's happened from FHC. I will say I love FHC a lot. Matte black powder coating, just like you guys were talking about it, it does add a little bit and causes some strange issues with the screws. Yeah, that's been a little bit of an issue, but I brought something up to Danny Donahue this week about the Hydra. Hanger roller carriage, and they're gonna add a 1/4 inch to that screw so the threads catch better. So that's pretty cool. Their customer service is great. So, I mean, even with some little inconsistencies here and there, which are gonna happen, we love them. So, yeah.
Everybody's gonna have a problem or an issue. I mean, that's like, it's part of the deal, but it's how you respond to it. And if you know, if when you complain about something, you get like, you know, an apology or like, you know, an offer to do better rather than some excuse or like trying to blame you for it. I hate that. You know, it's like when something's wrong and they try to, well, what did you do wrong, you know?
Well, and that comes back to us and us, like our customer service too. It works both ways. Like we can't blame our customers for things, and you know, it's all full circle. So teaches us a lot every day.
Words of wisdom.
Pardon me. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I got on pretty late. Is there a theme for today's call?
Not really.
Christina, did you figure out that enclosure that you were asking about? With the big old panel in the middle?
Yeah, I did. We're going to use support bars in the middle. And they're going to be the 135 support bars. It is barely enough space to get to the ceiling, but we will. Had to do the whole, you know, geometry math for a triangle to make sure the 135 to the ceiling bar would be long enough. I think the longest bar is 39 inches. I could be wrong about that.
You don't trust that big old panel in the middle, not to wobble?
I don't. Well, I do. I actually designed it without support bars at the beginning. And then Brad looked at me and he was like, you are no daughter of mine. So
I think with the 1/2 inch glass, I don't think you would have no issue. If you use 1/2 inch in the middle and you had those two transom, I think you'd be perfectly fine. I would have rolled with it. Let's do it.
Yeah, we did have a really wide opening before that was just a little hairy. We made it work and it's okay now, but it was 141 and he wouldn't do a header bar and wanted all kinds of things and it was extremely tall. So we're just a little weary at this point, but yes, I do appreciate everybody weighing in on that though. I feel a lot better about presenting a new design to the customer and then he's going to go forward with it, but it is a lot more than he expected. So he's coming up with the money, obviously, or so he says. Maybe he'll just find someone else, but I don't know that anyone else would do it.
Yeah, I looked at a really good thing the other day. I'll have to share it to the group. I'll show you like what it is. So they had built this shower not to have glass. Okay, I mean, they like purposely didn't want glass in there. And now they figured out it's cold. You know, it's not a big deal that the water gets out, you know, because it's all tiles, but it's like, but it's cold, you know? So now they want glass. So I went and looked at it. And yeah, I mean, where the doors should go, it's landing right on the corners of the walls. And there's just, it's going to be tricky. So I came up with an idea, but it's expensive. You know, it's like, then it ended up being like $4,000, you know, shower door, you know. And there's like no clearances and stuff. So we had to like put in, you know, I'm suggesting using a pair of doors just to get enough clearance, because if the door is any bigger than that, it's going to hit the wall on this side. It's crazy. Nice home, you know, nice neighborhood, but yeah. It's like not knowing that in advance can really end up costing you some money. So we'll see. We'll see what they say. I haven't heard back from them yet. They're pretty sticker shocked at the moment.
You know, Chris, there's you started out saying, well, what have you come up with that's creative? And somebody from this group had posted something that impressed me a lot several months ago. And as they had a situation, there was an opening. But there was no way to get a door in that opening the way it was. And I think it's because the door didn't have a wall to terminate on one side. So somebody did like a slider from one side to the other, but the slider bypassed the entire wall on the right side, kind of like a barn door slider. And I thought, well, that's a pretty clever idea that somebody came up with. It was in this group. I'm not sure who that was. But, you know, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. You know, we got some talent around here.
But it's problem solving, you know, and that's what we do. We problem solve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I love the glass toppers, too. Somebody started talking about that this week, using half-inch glass for a large shower surround, or maybe a wine cellar, and then 9/16 lamy on the top for a topper. I thought that was really creative. I've never done a glass topper, but I kind of want to now. So we'll see.
I'm not sure.
Are you talking about like a fixed transom that's used for like to add like stability, like instead of a support bar?
No, sorry.
Are you talking about
a lid? Like
a roof. A lid?
Like a top. A lid. Oh, yeah, lid. Thank you. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's wild.
Glass ceiling.
Glass
ceiling. Those are pretty neat. And somebody posted like a curved glass ceiling as well in the same thread. It was really incredible. So, yeah.
Oh, bad. I didn't see that. Curved glass ceiling.
Whoa. Oh, that was pretty cool. That was the wine cabinet, so like a barrel ceiling going into this wine room.
Dude, I think that was GCS. Actually, wasn't it, Brandon? What's that? Wine room with like a barrel shaped top or something.
Oh yeah, we did. We did that in Phoenix, where the whole room was like, it looked like you're walking into a barrel.
You did it because they had a transom window, a half round transom window above it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We did
and just match the curve of the transom.
We did two large fixed panels, and then we did an arch transom, and the doors pivoted off the transom.
Yeah, that was pretty slick.
Yeah, I wish we were able to get finished pictures of that when they were done. It was down in a basement, but we weren't able to get back to that job.
Yeah. See
if I can find this.
I remember seeing that. It was awesome.
I have a question.
All right.
So I'm doing a steam shower. I'm going to have a glass lid on it. So how much slope do you normally put on the lid of the steam shower?
Good question. What's the answer?
Nobody knows. I don't know.
I talked
to the people that make the generator, and he said 2 inches to a foot, and I go, no way.
That's too much. I would just do like a quarter inch or something like that.
And then quarter. I said, you know, 5/8 to a
yeah, no per foot. What do you, yeah.
A quarter inch what per foot or
per foot? Per foot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if it's 3/4, I mean, if it's 3 feet deep and you do a quarter per foot, it's 3/4 taller in the front.
Yeah. So it's going to be 5 feet wide and it's going to slope across there. So
make sure it always goes to the back.
Yeah. We can't miss one. I'm going to try and talk him into it.
Rob saw.
Can I,
next.
Why slope it to the back?
Slope it to the back.
And why?
So when it's cold, after you're done taking the steam shower and it's cold and it drips, you don't want the drip on you. You want it, the water to stick to the glass and run down the back wall to the drain.
Okay.
You know, because of the condensation builds on it. Like, so if it was flat, it would just drip down on you. It cools down really quick.
Yeah,
right.
But Tim, just make sure you tell him that it's tough to clean. Those roofs are...
Oh, I've done one before. I did one before for him, so...
Yeah, same thing, Christina. They're really cool until they go to clean them.
Yeah. But when you got house cleaners, who cares?
Complete dust collector up there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you got to get up on top and clean the top of it, too.
Yeah.
Need a Swiffer.
You need the ones for aquariums with a magnet on it.
Yeah.
Bring it back and forth.
Anything that goes on top is going to go right to the back, though.
Yep, sure is.
It's going to get hard to get out.
Just remember that. Tell them that so that they don't say, oh, you're the experts. You should have told me.
Things to think about.
Have you considered like leaving space at the back instead of sealing it to the back of the wall or glass, like where the water can just drain down the back wall, you know, like a quarter inch or something that wouldn't lose that much steam?
Why would you do that?
I've never done one, but I'm just saying, like, as opposed to the water sitting against the back wall or whatever is behind the ceiling.
That would be tiled, right? Because that's inside the shower. So you're just butting it up, no different than your sidewalls are butting right up to the tile.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like cleaning wise. So if your water ran down, like if you left like, or even like cut a little U-notch in the top to, well, no, that wouldn't work. Where like if you left it like a quarter inch off the wall, I mean, not that much steam would get out in the water that drips down into the shower instead of sitting on top of the ceiling, I guess is my concern.
Yeah, it wouldn't sit on top of the ceiling. Or you shouldn't, you know, it should you just have it butt against the back wall.
Okay, and then it drains through that gap against the back wall.
Yeah, and the water attaches to the wall.
I misunderstood. I've never done one, so I thought you sealed it to the back wall. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to add some of that hydrophobic coating, too, so make sure the water really, like, beads off and really runs down. Yeah. And if you slope it like 2 inches per foot, like that guy told Tim, Matt, it'll really run off fast.
It's like that.
It's going to be.
It'd be like a race.
Yeah.
I've never done one of those, so I'm curious. I don't know. It'll be a minute before I think anybody in Alabama orders a glass ceiling steam shower, but maybe soon.
They're very rare. Very rare. Usually at a highly contemporary house where it's all open. That's usually a designer's touch.
Yeah, this will be the second one I've done.
Yeah, I've only ever done one and that was like a long time ago. And they had a bathroom where they had open rafters. So they wanted to put a steam shower in there. So there's no way to really, and it was, you know, it was open rafters and it was like a slope ceiling and all that. It was almost like a cabin, really nice out there in Carmel, right on the cliffs there. And, so yeah, that was interesting. It was challenging.
They can afford it out there.
Exactly. Yeah. Turned out nice. They were really happy.
Yeah, I had a contractor just get mad at me today for charging him for a double elbow in glass. So it'll be a minute before somebody pays for a glass ceiling.
So. Yeah, that extra wide opening. I was asking mostly for my knowledge, but the customer was haggling with me on it. I'm like, man, you are building a 160 something wide opening and you're gonna nickel and dime me for the glass. Like, I think the conversation that frustrates me so much is when customers are like, well, I'm over budget on everything. It's like, well, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know. I want to help. I really do. Most of the time they're really nice people and there's ways to value engineer things, but I just, man, that's tough. Sorry, you're
just over because budget. We're the last in doesn't mean that we're going to be the cheapest.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
Sometimes a stud and more tile is cheaper than the glass.
Yeah.
Just let them frame it in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Give them that option and they'll say, no, I'll take the glass. So
that's smart. I like that.
Try and save you some money. So just do some extra studs and tile it in here. It's a lot cheaper than glass. You won't get the opening you want, but, and then they'll turn around and say, no, we want the glass.
That's smart. I like that. somebody was talking about the extra wide sliders. I got on a little bit late and powder coating a bar and everything. What do you guys do for really wide double sliders when you have situations like that? What is your go-to? Like, you have a wide opening and they want two doors sliding.
I use that Phantom glass header.
Ooh.
That's kind of our go-to as well. We sold a lot recently. I sold three yesterday.
It looks spectacular. You sold three yesterday?
Wow.
Ring, it was ring. In one house. To be fair, it was one house.
Good for you. Good for you.
Thanks.
What's the maximum span on that? Do you know?
Oh, they can go pretty big. They're stronger than a Cambridge.
Yep, they are.
The limiting factor is actually the rollers, which thankfully we haven't learned the hard way or anything, but the roller carriage sets can only handle 50 pounds a piece. So that's 100 pounds per door for two roller sets. So while the bar can handle much more, you might need three carriages on each door if you start getting too big. And they have photos on their website of that. It actually doesn't look terrible. It's not my favorite, but it doesn't look really bad or anything. It's a good solution.
That's one of the reasons.
Do you think the Phantom could do 111 etc?
Yeah. I think so.
I don't know. You always have to call 310 tempering to find out what they can do.
Yeah, I got my sales rep number. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that takes your powder coating right away from you. Yeah. Hey, I was listening from the car about your situation there. The other option you could do is go ahead and install it, get all your stops in place, and when you get it powder coated, leave the stops right where you want it and let them paint it with the stops all in place. So you'd have to install it, have everything set up, and then take it off. And then when they powder coat it, leave the stops on. Then you don't have to worry about slipping them on later.
Well, that might work too. All right, there you go. Oh, you got the old timer knowledge right there. Oh. There you go.
Always a solution. Right?
Yeah, I like these guys, man. These old guys have good ideas all the time.
Hey, watch what you're talking about there.
That's right.
Hey, it's a compliment, all right?
Oh, all right. One day, okay.
We got to deal with all these young young, younger generation that young generation that don't know how to use a freaking suction cup. They just want to barehand everything. Like, come on, man.
Hey, Bill, can you get the rubber stoppers or the bumpers off of those?
Some of them you can, yeah. They're not easy to put back on, but yeah, you can pull them off. But if they create so that they don't heat it, you know, the powder paint gets baked, right? But if you do the creosote, it's not. It's just sprayed on.
Creosote.
So,
yeah, we talked about that last year, I think.
The Cerakote.
Cerakote. I say creosote. It's Cerakote. Thank you.
Cerakote.
Okay. So that Phantom header, if it's 111, does that have to be mounted to like any of the panels so it doesn't sag or what? Or is it...
Just make sure you got two good side walls.
They don't sag.
It doesn't sag.
They don't sag, no.
It's triple laminated low iron glass. So they have a video on their website that's pretty satisfying. They smack that thing with a hammer like 40 times. And I encourage you to go find that video. It's pretty cool.
So my only concern though is 111. So for them to get that shipped here, it's going to cost a ton.
Yeah,
that'd be a lot. Forget that. Never mind. That was a good idea, but I'm not gonna do that one. Forget it. They're not gonna pay for it. I already know that one.
For reference, I just found some documentation. I know they'll make a custom bar. I don't know what their limit on the length is, but they keep stock widths of bars up to 72 inches, and they keep every half inch. By the way. If anybody.
Who does?
310.
310 does? Okay.
Yeah. 310. Awesome. 310 tempering. And they're out of, I want to say, Louisville. Yeah. Yeah.
Someone just asked a question in the chat. Cameron is like, that company is called 310 Tempering. And they're near Nashville?
Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville. Okay, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Are they taking on new customers now?
Were they not?
Do you know if they're taking new customers now? I tried to get on with them a while back, and they weren't taking new customers.
Well, enough of us order from them. If they don't sell you directly, just let me know, and I'll order it for you.
Appreciate that. I'll check in with them again. I need to.
They picked up one of my competitors like last month. It was their first one they've ever done. So, and they haven't done any more. So they're by no means a big customer there. So I think they're taking back on people.
And I'm not far from you, probably the same territory. I'm in Chattanooga. So,
yeah, I mean, this was in Birmingham and they did it maybe 1 to 2 months ago. And they were like, oh, it's the first one in Alabama. And I'm like, yeah, it probably was. So they took them on.
Yeah, I'll call them.
They have a glass towel bar too, as an option, and they're not they're not expensive. It's they're pretty nice. So we put one in our showroom with the towel bars on it.
How does it mount?
It's like standoffs with a glass piece, rectangular piece that serves as a towel bar.
Yeah, that's on your website. Robert just put the website up on the chat. Thank you, Robert.
Robert's on it.
He's the man.
He is.
Got to watch those quiet ones.
He's the IT guy.
Did you just call Robert quiet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
tonight he has.
Until you get him started.
Tonight, baby. Try not to start. It's hard to stop. So if you have a question, I'll try to keep it limited. But, you know.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
I can go.
One other thing just to note about the Phantom, the guide on the bottom is real loose. You have to use the seals on the bottom. Otherwise, it's going to be way too wobbly on the bottom. The guide block. So just keep that in mind if you install one to put the seals on the bottom of the doors.
What's the price compared to a typical barn door slider?
a lot.
You have to use low iron glass with it, or I guess you technically don't have to, but it would look really strange if you didn't. So it adds pricing. I would say, I think it was $250 more than a Cambridge kit.
Yeah, I don't think it was all that bad.
Okay.
I don't think it was all that much more, yeah. You got some shipping, you know, but.
My competitor used it with regular glass, and I will say it looked like the goofiest thing I've ever seen. I saw it on Instagram, low iron phantom behind regular glass. So.
Yeah, I'll bet.
They have one with rain glass on their website. I think it's low iron rain glass. It is really pretty. I'm a little surprised by that. It's really pretty. Fun fact. Cool. I just posted towel bar photos in the chat because I had that conversation this week with a customer, in case anybody's curious.
Awesome. Thanks for posting that. There's photos in there.
No worries.
Nice.
It's really pretty.
It is. It's a beautiful product. And they're great people. I mean, great. I highly recommend them. But if you can do business with them, they're very, like, great customer service, great product. 310 Temper. Yeah. Those guys.
We could get them to do a week here.
Definitely, like yeah.
Professionals thing.
Actually, early on when I was doing my podcast and just interviewing people, and they came on and did one with me, and it was really good. So yeah, that was like years ago. It's time to have them back on.
He's got a lot of experience because he used to run the Cardinal plant in Louisville before he went out on his own. So he's got a lot of experience.
Yeah, I want to say Greg, is that right?
Yep, it is. Greg Adams.
Abrams?
Abrams, yeah, Abrams, that's it.
Yeah, I remember that guy, he's a cool guy.
Very.
Yep, good stuff, man. Brilliant, very, very innovative product. I love stuff like that. Yeah, I'll reach out to him, man. See if I can get him to come on. That'd be cool. What else? What else is going on? Man, I was just like, I don't know if I told you guys live or just before we got started, but I was in Carmel this earlier. And I mean, I got done there at like just after 4, and I was like, I didn't know if I was going to make it back here in time to start this. I was like, so I put it in the GPS and it was telling me I was going to get here at like 5:21, you know. I'm like, oh man, if I can get there by 5:21, I can start at 5:30. So everything lined up and I was able to make it here. Didn't have to pull off on the side of the road and start it up on my iPhone, you know. So anyway, I am a little bit frazzled. So thanks for helping me kind of carry the meeting today.
Elaman just posted a photo of a shower with a roof on it, in case anybody wanted to see it.
Nice.
Is it in the chat?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Ooh, that is nice.
How would you even install the top, the lid? How would you go about that?
Tricky. You almost have to come in from the inside, you know, and then stick it up through the top. And then, I mean, that's how I did it. You know, it's like.
I think we had like 5 guys do that. So there was a U channel recess into the tile. So we pretty much calculated everything so that we have the glass pretty much just slide at the top of the glass. And then it was just resting on that back U channel and then on the other 2 sides.
Great job. 2 fixed panels. Yeah.
Yeah, and then that one specifically, they had the shower head going through the glass, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, good job.
Thanks.
Beautiful.
How did you calculate that hold for that? Did you run a laser from the floor up to the where the plumbing comes down?
Yeah, so that one, the builder already had the rod pretty much from the ceiling, so yeah. We just you know pretty much. Put that laser and then put that rod level, and that's how we made the home.
Really nice. Great job.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. That's spectacular, actually.
Yep. Absolutely.
You should have submitted that to Glass Magazine.
Yeah, it's a good picture.
It is. That should probably be our, like, photo on the Shower Door Pros page. I haven't changed it in a long time.
That's a good one. If he gives permission, yeah.
You don't mind if I do that, do you? Same hands. Yeah, I think I'll do that. It's beauty.
Yeah, that's fine. I have a few more. I was just browsing on our website, but for some reason when I'm browsing on the website, they have a lot of letters. I'll just post them anyway, but I'll get you some without the text.
All right, cool. Yeah, send that to me, man.
Ilibot, is that pitched to the back?
Pitched to the back, correct.
It is, yeah. You can see it along the tile, the grout line along the side.
We did, I think it was like 2 inches or so.
That's about right. Yeah, because that's maybe 4 feet deep.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, one was kind of challenging because the customer wanted everything recessed, but then he didn't want it to wait. So if you notice on that picture, we have the glass on over the tub. That one is recessed, but then he didn't want to wait. So, and there is a clip on the half wall on the left.
On the left? Okay.
So that one we did not get to recess, only the rest of the glass.
I see. Okay.
I'll post some more. I think I have them here on my phone. Let me see if I can get them.
I mean, that's really a cool job. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Looks big.
I hate to see the size of a generator to make that steam because that's a, you know, not only the cubic feet inside of there, but it's all glass. So you're not really holding the heat in. So you need a massive generator.
True.
Do you guys ever work through that, the whole calculation to see the size of the generator? Because they need to know what the walls are made of so they can calculate the heat loss.
I know this builder in particular did that calculation himself, but he said that he went and actually put a bigger generator than normal.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really involved in that process, but he had already calculated that himself. So that was pretty smart on his end.
Yeah. So he's not a rookie. He knew what he was doing.
Correct. Yeah. This guy, we do a lot of custom work for him and he's pretty on top of things.
Yeah. Very nice. That's actually one of the nicest showers I've seen in a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. We got talent in this group, man. No doubt about it.
We should make a shower door calendar of all of our nicest shower doors that we all do.
Ooh.
It's our professionals calendar.
Brilliant.
There's an idea.
I don't know who would really want that except for us internally. We would want it. That'd be fun. We all like showers. So
we could give it to our customers.
Yeah.
True. Wow,
silly idea, but I like it.
Yeah, that's cool. I would hang it up in my office. Bam! Then I'd know what day it is.
My wife said, "Take it to the tile shops."
There you go.
Tiles. Yeah. Great idea. Give it to all the tile companies in your town, dude. I like the way you guys think. What else? What else? We got about 5 minutes left. What do we want to talk about?
If you don't mind, I want to ask a question to Christine and Brett.
That would be awesome. Go for it.
Go for it.
Don and I are going up to Atlanta on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Are you guys?
Yeah, we're around.
Yeah.
We have a couple of appointments here and there, but our guys can pick them up. So we're around. Just let us know. We're 20 minutes from Midtown, 45 from the airport. And you all are welcome at Glassbuild, by the way, if you want to come see our, it's a little shop. We're not as cool as some of you, but we would love to have you all over.
We actually have a little construction going on right now too.
Yeah. But yes, come on over, Bill. We would love to have you.
All right. We'll call you when we get in. Okay.
Sure.
Just text me can you text me your address?
Of course. Yeah.
Thanks.
Nice. People getting together, doing stuff. I love that.
You're going to the Braves game, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, Billy, we're going to the Braves game. That's his team.
Are you guys big? So Billy's a Braves fan?
Who are they playing?
They're the Twins.
No, I'm not a Braves. I'm not a Braves fan. I'm just a baseball fan.
Fair enough. Well, I feel like the momentum is kind of gone, and it's a few minutes early, but we can end a few minutes early, right?
Well, I do have one question.
Oh, good. What's up, Brad?
Somebody mentioned micro abrasions in the glass. This is just a week or two ago that it came up. I can't remember why they said, you know, how that occurred, whether it was a cleaning thing but can that happen during the processing of the glass, tempering or something like that, where you might have some little streaks that just looks like it's slightly hazy?
Bill, this is a good question for you.
I don't know if you can hear me. I lost everything.
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right. I don't have any video, so I never heard the question.
Okay. Somebody was mentioning the other day micro abrasions in the glass. I was wondering if can some of that occur during the tempering phase or just in the processing of glass?
Yes. It could have been in the storage even before they start it. It could have happened during cutting. If they put it on the cutting table and there are shards from the previous cut, they didn't clean the table. It could happen from the rollers in the tempering oven as it's being heated, or it could be in transportation if they don't have a curtain around the truck. It could be just stones coming up, you know, sand and grit, especially if there's multiple panels and one's leaning on the other one.
This I would describe as just a slight haze. In a line.
Yeah.
Almost like a tiger stripe, but not really a tiger stripe.
Okay. The tiger stripes could be the rollers on the tempering oven causing that. Mm-hmm. Especially if they had previously tempered something with a shower guard.
Mm.
The shower guard has a tendency to come off on the Kevlar rollers. And then when the next panel comes in, the residue goes on the next panel.
You can get that off with cerium oxide and a buffer wheel.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, and you can just be careful you don't fisheye it.
Yeah.
So that's what I'd be worried about, or getting some grit or something in there, or a bad buffing wheel and putting a scratch in, you know.
Yeah, so we used to just reorder it. I mean, Coral was a Guardian dealer.
Well, the case I have, it's so minor. It is so minor. It's not worth it, quite honestly.
Did the customer complain, or you just happen to notice it?
After about over a year, She noticed it.
Oh.
We have already, for context, this woman is insane.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm really putting it nicely, being somebody who has to talk to her on the phone. She is nuts. And she made us replace the shower already once for things that are well within, like teeny.
There were some specks in the glass, but they were so minor and small that evidently got baked in when it was mean tempered.
Yeah.
So we accommodated.
So.
But now it's over a year later, and she's like, well, when it fogs up, I kind of see this thing, but I can't get a photo of it. I don't know how to describe it. Can you just come out and please take a look? And it's like, lady. Oh, I don't know. I'm really trying to be nice.
We use that 4-aught steel wool too, and just lightly go over it with your hand. That might take some of it off. Yeah. You know, they make a steel wool that's really, really, really fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have some of that too. I did not try that today, but I did try a couple other things, and it seemed like some of it came out. Some of it.
Yeah.
It's amazing what a magic eraser will take off.
Yeah.
That's what I used.
Actually. Oh, yeah, man. Those things are incredible.
Yeah.
In fact, right there. Magic eraser.
There you go, man. A whole box of them.
Yeah.
You ready, man?
They have these little soap dots in them. So, anyway, whatever. We'll talk about it later. I know we're beyond your time here.
Ah. We made it.
We did.
Good.
Well, cool. Hey, thanks, everybody. Appreciate your showing up, and hope to see you again next Wednesday. Tell all your friends. Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.